Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson here, Ray Stevens, Ramblin' Ray.
Clear out that voice, get it ready.
In for Dan Proft today.
I don't know if anybody can be in for Dan, but can I just ask you a real quick question right off the bat?
Sure.
Are you you in your prime?
Am I in my, yes, I'm in my prime right now. Well, what Don Lemon meant to say.
Yeah.
Well, because he Googled it.
Right.
And on Google, it says women in their 20s and 30s are in their prime.
Yeah.
Prime childbirthing years, if he read on.
Right.
Instead of being an idiot and just reading the headline.
Well, you see, the thing is with Don Lemon is he doesn't understand women. You know, he doesn't have to deal with them and understand them.
No, no. He and his mom are very close.
Well, that's great.
In his defense, he said, I have very important women in my life. Mm-hmm. His sister, his mom.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if you saw the CNN special on New Year's Eve.
But he
had his whole family around him.
He doesn't have to cozy up to his sister and his mom the way that I would have to cozy up to a woman. And if I said to my girl that she wasn't in her prime, holy cow, are you kidding me? Any guy knows that if he questions a woman's age on any point for anything is in the doghouse.
Here he is. Come on, Don.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you talking about? Wait.
That's not according to me.
Prime for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not saying
decade.
I agree with that. Ooh. So I think she has to be careful about saying that. Politicians aren't in their prime.
We need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for childbearing, or are you talking
don't shoot
about
the message.
Prime
I'm just
for being
saying
president?
What the facts are. Google it, everybody at home. When is a woman in her prime? It says 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I'm just saying Nikki Haley should be careful about saying that politicians are not in their prime and they need to be in their prime when they serve, because she wouldn't be in her prime according to
Google,
Google or whatever it is.
Isn't it crazy that we live in this crazy woke world and everything is off topic, but then they dive into this on CNN? Are you flipping kidding me?
Well, he's been off. So he took Friday off. He wasn't there Monday, but on Friday, while they had a conference call with him, and Dan thought that this is like, so what? He poo-pooed me when I was telling him the story.
You know why he poo-pooed you? I'll tell you why. Because you're not in your prime.
Okay, so Don, who is being chased by the paparazzi because it's a hot story, he's at his Miami Beach cabana with his fiance, frolicking in the water, laughing while he's on his cell phone, not taking it seriously that he offended millions of American women.
Well, they say that that he is, you know what they should do?
What?
They should put him in an octagon
with
Poppy Harlow.
And Caitlin Collins.
Caitlin Collins would destroy him.
I love Poppy.
Yeah, Poppy would kick his ass.
And I like Caitlin too.
Yeah.
Even though Trump hated her, but I think that was a love-hate relationship.
So put them all in and then just
let him
go. Let him go. Oh, that would be great.
I don't think they like working with him.
I think that he's in big trouble here.
Yeah. I don't think that he's taking this seriously. I think that he, in his mind, is processing it this way. I'm a black gay man. How are they going to take me off the air?
Watch.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so we'll be watching to see if he's... Well, I don't even know if he's on yet. But the Daily Beast said that there's ongoing conversations about his future and that it's a constant distraction, his behavior. Then the CNN people, you ready for this? This is how they spun it. They said he's taking the holiday. He's been chased by the paparazzi all weekend. He's been under attack, and he's not ready to go back on air.
Yet you saw him frolicking in the surf.
That's the spin on it. So
people get in fights with their employers and spouses and say stupid things all the time, and they go back to jobs that are a lot harder than sitting in front of a teleprompter.
312-642-5600. Our phone lines are always open. We have a lot to get to today, too, because Governor DeSantis was here yesterday, and the left lost their mind.
I know.
We have a mayoral race 1 week from today.
Don't vote. If you don't see things Lori Lightfoot's way, don't vote.
I answered. I said, you know, what you said was a threat to our democracy. And she explained it. We'll get to that, too. But first, let's go to the phone lines. Greg in Schaumburg is on our Turnkey DepPro answer line. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hey, Amy. How you doing? Hey, Ray. There's a real good reason why you want to treat Amy with ultimate respect and her primer, which she, you know, 25 years old. What are you going to do here? But she has got two sons that are destined to be pro athletes.
Scott and I are both going, they're good high school athletes. Because he's talking about, I have a son that plays volleyball at Georgia Tech, and he actually started this past weekend. But my other son had a playoff game for basketball, so I had to choose between the two kids.
Playoff game high school?
Yeah, IHSA regionals have started.
You know, look at you being all tempered as a mother.
I had to decide, and I really was split because I bought my plane ticket. I had the hotel room. I had the rental car. So I moved it all to this upcoming weekend. But guess what? If they win their playoff game tomorrow, guess when they play?
The same time.
Saturday. Yeah.
You know, volleyball is just that's huge. But those college volleyball players are unreal.
I know. Well, they're huge. I mean, the women are 6'8", 6'9", right now.
Let me ask you this. I don't mean to go off topic here, but let me just ask you because you're a knower of all things.
Let's see. Greg, are you done?
Greg's done. See you, Greg.
I love Greg.
I just wanted to say congratulations, Amy. There is so much of you in those two kids. And, the favorite picture that I've got of Amy in my mind is with probably your oldest son, strapped to you with a mic walking into some press conference when he was like, months old.
Yep.
And I'll never forget that. And that picture sold me on Amy Jacobson.
Oh, thank you, Greg. That's so sweet. Yeah, I was with them.
I wonder why you wanted them to hang on longer.
No.
Come on. Give me some more, Greg.
Enough about me. What do you think of me? they called me. Channel 5 called me in last minute. And I had... And it was a story that I've been covering. I can't remember what it was, but I had to go to a courthouse, and I said, I can't find a babysitter.
Did you have
my boss suggested at the time, well, can you bring your kid with? Later on in my career, when I brought the kids with, it didn't work out so well. But then it was fine, and that was Andrew, and he was strapped in here.
He was in the baby Bjorn.
I'll tweet out that picture.
No, but I was going to ask you, as far as volleyball, if the men play in those short shorts that my daughter used to have to play.
No, we don't do short
shorts. The hell is up with that?
No, I don't do that.
Maybe uncomfortable.
Not even at the collegiate. My stepson plays for D1. They don't wear short shorts.
D1.
Are men wearing short shorts now?
No, that's what I was asking. Because I used to, my wife, ex-wife, my former soulmate, she was a...
You sound like John Howell.
He got that from me, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, he used it.
Yeah,
pretty,
I know. You steal from me, you're stealing twice.
Mm-hmm.
She was a volleyball player. My daughters were. And I was like, gosh, can't you put on some sweats? Everybody. Put on some sweats.
I know. I coach girls and boys volleyball.
I know you do.
I know. And
Greg, can you call back and give us some?
But Mike Scott knows that my sons are, you can be a strong high school athlete and not go on to the collegiate level. But
I know.
But we did win if you want to know about high school basketball, we did win our first round of regionals. That has not happened at Amundsen High School since 1981.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Got a double-double. 20 points, 20 rebounds.
Huge.
I know.
Enjoy it, man. It goes.
I knew when I was sitting there because it's our last time in the gym for basketball because now we're going to play at Deerfield on Wednesday at 6 o'clock if anybody wants to come. But I just knew, this is it. And I was so proud of him because he did so well, but I got a little teary-eyed. And
well, it's funny because, when I was a young father and people would say, you should enjoy it because it goes really fast, I should have listened to that because it does.
And the days go by long, but the years go by fast.
They do.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
All right, quickly, we're going to take Carl in Big Cabin, Oklahoma. I don't even know where that is. Is that near Tulsa or Bartlesville? Hi, Carl.
Just east of Tulsa. Hey, I just want to let you know, you better be careful sparring with Don. Because, you know, you're both in competition for the same men. Oh. And she might be able to eat a banana a little bit better than
they are.
All right, bye-bye. That's how they talk out there in Oklahoma. And that's when you drop the line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560. The Answer.
I got to tell you, we couldn't get this stuff done without our technical director, Justin Kosick. Marcus Brown helped out yesterday. He went to the DeSantis event and... Our executive producer got a flat tire on the way to work today.
Yeah, he told me he jacks the car up. You know,
well, he changed it?
First, he cracks the lug nuts loose, okay? So he cracks the...
I love lug nuts. They're so sexy on a Tuesday morning.
The four lug nuts off.
Oh, yeah.
And he jacks up the car.
Yeah.
Then his car has five lug nuts, so he had to lower it back down and crack the fifth.
No, you're making that up.
He says to me, since when do cars have five lug nuts? And I'm like, well, my truck has eight. So...
All right. So he changed his own tire.
Let me just tell you.
No, really, he changed his own tire. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Here, though, if you have kids or...
I'd love video of that, yes.
Whether you know, anybody, just carry that fix-a-flat crap in your car. It's going to ruin your tire. It will ruin your tire, but it'll get you off a Chicago expressway to a discount tire where they can fix your tire, but here, you're off the road.
I don't know what this fix-a-flat is.
It's you can buy it at any, you know, auto place, hardware store, and it's just a little can. And you attach it to your tire, you fill it up. It's like an aerosol can. It will inflate your tire good enough to get you off the side of the road.
Okay.
Yeah, earlier this beginning, actually it was the end of last year, we had a kid in our neighborhood who was on I-65, and he was killed tragically trying to change a tire.
I'm like, just
get off the road, man.
I always tell my kids to, like, stay in the car.
I know, Dan loves you. I'm going to have him buy you some fix-a-flat for your car.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So Governor DeSantis in town yesterday in Elmhurst and part of his pro-police tour. He's visiting blue jurisdictions across the country. He went to New York, Philadelphia, and then Chicago to talk about violent crime and to recruit some officers. But he started yesterday with a funny. He's very personable. I liked it.
It's great to be in Illinois. Now, normally when I want to visit Midwesterners in February, I just go to Naples. But
you know who was working the door for that event?
Who?
So you could get in?
Yeah.
Holding the you know, getting you past the velvet line? Jeannie Ives.
Oh, yes. And she'll be on at 7:07 this morning to talk about the event and what impact it's going to have and when he's going to officially announce that he's running for president, because that's all that this is a warm-up for him.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You mean it's not just Nikki Haley?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Who's on the DeSantis train? Because there were protesters outside. They were carrying signs. Are you ready for this?
Oh, no. I was in that vicinity yesterday. I was down in Chicago, so I drove by it because I thought I was going to be invited. Talked to Jeannie about that at 7:07.
Okay.
But
I could have gotten you in.
It was something. There was, I would say, mostly pro DeSantis crowd.
Well, there were some people that.
Well, of course there was.
Say no to baby Hitler. That was my favorite. A four-year-old holding a sign. It's okay to say gay with a rainbow that he drew, and you know that's fine. This is what you get when you ban education. They showed DeSantis in a dunce cap. Another lady, I'd rather be woke than racist.
I think that's what everybody falls back on. You know, we seem so divided. You know, it's funny. The other night I was at a party and I was talking to a woman that self-described herself to me as a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And we got into a small conversation and it was civil. And I said, you know, it's crazy, but here we are at this party, 200 people at this party. I haven't heard one person talk about gun rights and I haven't heard anybody else talk about abortion. We just have our talking points and we wag them back and forth. And if you're a conservative, if you're a racist, if you have family values, you don't believe. Hey, do whatever you want. Just don't push it on my kids or me. And I'm fine with you. I'm fine with that.
Well, they were pushing.
Everything he stands for is basically comes down to hatred of others. And here in Illinois, we believe in people have the right to be who they are.
I mean,
who's saying they don't? That's what I want to know.
Who's holding you back, woman? And this whole hatred, the don't say gay bill, which is not, it's a parental rights bill, which just means there's no sex education from kindergarten to third grade. That's reasonable. I didn't have sex ed until seventh grade.
Yeah.
That's when we had sex ed. And we knew it was coming. We dragged our feet getting in that room. We didn't want to hear about it. We didn't want to see your parts. We didn't even want to see our parts. But can you imagine they're teaching sex ed in kindergarten?
Yeah.
So DeSantis came out, and then he also was trying to not... Well, yeah, he was trying to recruit police officers, you know, to maybe if you're not happy here, come on over to the Sunshine State.
There's no way Florida could have done what we've done if it wasn't for our commitment to law and order. And the fact that we've stood by people when it wasn't popular, it's the foundation for the success of not just Florida, but for any community. I don't beg people to move to Florida. I don't beg businesses, but I do ask for people in law enforcement who are qualified. Just know we have this recruitment program in place. If you come and you're qualified from another state and join any of our agencies, city, county, state, sworn law enforcement, you get a $5,000 signing bonus immediately right off the top.
See that? There you go. You can start your new career. You can have a job.
You know that might work out for me. I'm probably, you know, a little north of the age to be a good cop, but I think I'd make a pretty decent one.
So crime is the lowest it has been in Florida in 50 years.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with law and order. I mean, come on.
No.
Yeah.
But he also took a shot at the big guy, our big guy, Governor Pritzker, which he should have. Because, they touted. Florida, $21.8 billion surplus. That's a word we don't use here. Mm-hmm. Yes, this microphone's on a surplus. No state income tax. And they were open during COVID.
Well,
we are $62 billion in debt. And that's probably being kind. 4.5% state income tax. And we were closed during COVID.
Yes, during COVID, even though your governor would lock you down and have his family in Florida living in free. And many other lockdown politicians would do that. It became like a cottage industry that they'd always end up attacking Florida, that we were somehow being reckless by letting people make their own decisions. Then you'd see him down in Palm Beach or you'd see him down in Miami. So
I love it. And he touted, too. He signed an anti-riot measure, which is, the recruiting effort for police officers, including those bonuses. But he took on woke prosecutors as well who believe, they're worsening crime by refusing to enforce the law. And he believes that's what's happening here in Chicago.
The reason why you have crime that has spiraled out of control in so many of these different areas is because you have politicians putting woke ideology ahead of public safety.
Yep.
And somebody that wasn't there was Paul Vallis, who, because the FOP Lodge 7 sponsored the event or welcomed him.
Oh, I know.
But the FOP Lodge 7 is also endorsing Paul Vallis.
Boy, Paul.
Paul stepped
Paul.
In it because he called him a right-wing extremist.
Yep.
And I have done countless reopen our school rallies with Paul Vallis. And we have talked.
Yes, I know.
About Governor DeSantis.
We've had him on the show.
Well, Paul Vallis had to double down yesterday. He tried to explain himself. You know, he had some splaining to do to the media.
Mansplain. Let's hear.
All right. Are you buying this? Ready?
I'm not paying any attention to DeSantis or any attention to, you know, those, the DeSantis supporters. This is, the city's at the crossroads. We have a leadership crisis.
But I do believe I hear him trying to deflect there.
Yeah, backpedal. Yeah.
And so then another reporter asked him the same question. Let's see. What do you make of this?
You know, I'm going to continue to focus on the issues. You know, I'm not paying any attention to DeSantis or any attention to, you know, those, the DeSantis supporters.
And that is what he should have said in the first place and not release a press release denouncing his visit. Just ignore it.
I don't know what good do you gain from even, you know, paying any attention to it? We know what this state's about. We know what they, you know. We know what Chicago's about, not this state.
Right.
I apologize to the people that live outside of Cook County for that statement. But, you know, I just don't get it. It really doesn't make any sense why he would even stepped in it like that.
I don't know. He's felt because, we'll have Jeannie Ives on at 7:07. And
meanwhile.
She'll give us the real scoop.
Meanwhile, Willie Wilson's like, I got forget over here.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Let's go to Bob in Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Amy, and hello to you, Ramblin' Ray. Always love it, Amy, when you're in control. Yesterday, I didn't get through to offer some comments, so let me go today. You mentioned DeSantis, probably some sound bites. Did he mention Vallis by name?
No, he did not. And no, okay, he didn't take any reporter questions either. It was an invite-only event, and they had a pool camera there. And which he shouldn't have mentioned him, I don't think. Don't you think? No.
Here's my comment that I missed mentioning yesterday. You weren't born yet, but it was a classic song by Paul Simon, Mrs. Robinson. And there's a great lyric in there near the end of the song, going to hear the candidates debate. Laughing about it, shout about it. Everywhere you look, you lose.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
It's a choice in the mayor election. Who's the lesser of 10 evils? So that's what my comment for today, and have a great show.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob. Yeah, their mayor, I was with Mayor Lightfoot yesterday with her wife and her daughter. Gosh, she's gorgeous. Yeah. She's tall. I last time I saw her, she was in seventh grade. Now she's
they
like,
grow up,
she's,
Amy.
I know they grow up, but I was like, I even said, do you work here? She said, no, it's my mom.
You got that close to Lori Lightfoot's daughter?
Well, no, we were all, everybody just voted in a tiny little room and all the cameras were there. It wasn't a big deal, but she made a prediction.
She's probably like, man, I can't shake this Jacobson chick. What's going on?
She predicts that this is going to be a two-person race. Are you ready? The big reveal.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be her and...
Become, I think, a two-person race between me and Paul Vallis. And let me say a couple of things about that. One, we've got to keep moving our city forward. We have been through a once-in-a-lifetime set of challenges and headwinds over these last few years, obviously fueled by the global pandemic, the economic...
Do you think it comes down to that? Because I don't even know if she makes the runoff.
She might not make the runoff. I think it's going to be, and I hate to say this, I think it's going to be Brandon Johnson and Paul Vallis.
I'll tell you one thing
about that. And that is not going to end well for Paul Vallis.
Brandon Johnson has some big signs on every overpass. Oh. I mean, they've got that thing signed up like you wouldn't believe.
Well, you know how he got some of his money? They took CTU teachers' funds. They took their money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they pay in, they use that money, and they're going to reimburse it later.
Sure, but, they are.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, right. Nod, nod. Yeah, they use $1 million of the teacher's money.
Well, so that guy, you can't swing a dead cat in Chicago without having it hit a Johnson.
And he's
Johnson
got commercials,
sign.
And but the thing is, he's got the unions behind him. He's got SEIU, he's got CTU, and they vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's go to Michael on the South Side. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Ray. Thank you both for taking my call. Well, we've seen local media and local politicians pile on Ron DeSantis for his alleged racism, for his alleged homophobia, yada, yada, yada. Oh, so God. I hope that the same people treat Al Sharpton similarly the next time he comes to town.
And what do you want them to do?
Yeah, let's have the local media remind us about Al Sharpton and his anti-Semitic remarks, for example, or the Tawana Brawley situation, and let's see the local media chase down politicians here in the city and say, do you want to denounce Al Sharpton? The media should apply the same standard to everyone, not just Ron DeSantis.
Thank you, Michael, for the phone call. I mean, I just can't believe how everyone jumped on the DeSantis visit. I mean, you had Brandon Johnson, you had Sophia King, they were falling all over themselves.
And that's what people do when they're nervous and they're worried, because they know that this guy will be the front runner. And I don't care how much you love Trump, this is the guy, and there is nobody that they have to run against him. No one.
I think it's reprehensible because I think the Governor DeSantis stands in far contrast to the type of state that Illinois is.
Yeah, Illinois is broken, corrupt.
It's a horrible state.
It's a horrible.
You'll have to tell us. We live here.
High unemployment rate since January 1st. Let's see. Since January 1st, 194 shot, and that's not including the homicides from last night, because a rideshare driver was shot last night and killed. So now we have 42 homicides, 195 shot. And did you see what happened on I-57?
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago?
Yeah, and a three-year-old, I believe.
Yes, fatally shot, and three other members and her family were shot. Mm-hmm. They were driving down the street and targeted. So, yeah, not a safe place to live. Nothing to celebrate here, but yet they try to. Craig in Mount Greenwood, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy, and good morning, Cool Ray.
Hey, brother.
Anyways, good to hear you guys in that. You know, thinking about just the Chicago voters, now putting aside all the cheating that goes on with that's gone on forever, all the way back through all the dailies and everything with the Democratic machine and all their cheating methods, but you still have to overcome it, and we can't overcome it in Chicago because there's too many dumb voters. And this is why I say about Paul Vales. I know you like him, Amy, and everything, Dad, and he's not the worst of the worst, but he's basically a typical politician, and I mean big time. He's just a talker, and he basically doesn't give me any hope for that things would be straightened out. But way down, I think that cat right there, that he would make some changes and do some things, and he's the real deal. And just wondering what you guys think about that, because you don't hear too much about Willie Brown. But, man,
about Willie Wilson.
I mean, Willie Wilson. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's on at 8 o'clock this morning, too.
Willie is?
Yep.
You know, he's a solid man.
Thanks,
you know,
Craig.
When do we ever look at somebody for who they are and what they've done in their body of work? I mean, this guy is a good man.
He's accomplished. Yeah. There's a lot of questions we want to ask him, too, because he didn't jump in on the fray of denouncing DeSantis, but I want to know what he thinks of his visit and what he thinks of the governor. But Paul Vales, I mean, it was just really hard because I consider him family.
Yeah.
I became very close with him during the pandemic. I've always been, you know, when I was a reporter, I got to know him. And then I was a substitute teacher when he was the CEO. And so we'd joke around. And then, I know his wife. I know his family. And I just was shocked.
You were a substitute teacher?
Yeah.
Where?
They played Gangster's Paradise when I walked down the hallway. No, I was at Austin High School, but I fall in favor with Farragut High School. So they would just tell me whenever I wasn't working at Channel 5, I was per diem when I first came here, I would go to Farragut or Frederick Douglass Middle School. I went all over the city.
Did you?
And that was very hard. Being a substitute teacher is, God bless those people. Because
you don't know what you're walking into.
Oh, well, I had to press the panic button a few times.
See, now, if you're my substitute teacher, I'm playing Van Halen. Too hot for teacher!
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Celebrating President's Day, not on American soil. Good morning. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens in for Dan Proft. Thanks for coming in.
How you doing?
I'm doing. We have a busy news day. Always a lot going on when you're here.
Yeah, you know, last time I sat in here by myself for you guys, you two goofballs, there was nothing going on. It was dead. There was no news except Southwest Airlines. That was the story. And I mean, I'm making news up. It was fun. This is a fun day.
Yes. Well, President Biden yesterday chose to spend, you know, this American holiday, not in America. He's secretly in the cloak of darkness at 3 a.m. Sunday morning, got on a plane, not on Air Force One, but another plane, flew to Poland, then took a 10-hour train ride to Kyiv.
Well, he's used to those train rides. He used to ride the train.
Oh, that's right. I'm a train guy.
You know what? I knew the train conductor by name. I had a key. I drove the train.
But the question is, should he have been here? And we do have a border crisis. We do, well, a crisis at the border, excuse me. And we do have that toxic chemical spill that is still affecting residents in East Palestine, Ohio.
The border crisis you're talking about is the one that Ron DeSantis was talking about. Everybody leaving Illinois and going to Florida,
no,
that one?
No, the one down on our southern border.
Not the one where everybody from Illinois is going to Wisconsin? That's a different one?
Nope.
That's Title 43. Title 43 means you can no longer leave this state for greener pasture.
Yeah, right. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Because he brought with him $500,000. And is using that money to pay pensions of Ukrainian citizens. When people here that are hurting, especially in Ohio, could probably have used that money. But here's President Biden, you know, getting up there after this 10-hour trip and this photo op. Did you see this? When he's walking with the president of Ukraine in the town square. Guess what happened?
Was Volodymyr helping him?
No. Ready?
Yeah.
It's total photo op.
Okay.
This is for a Netflix special. Oh. Sirens are going great. The sirens are going on cue. Cue the sirens.
Right. War zone.
Look at, he's tough.
Yeah.
Biden's tough, but he's going to stand with Ukraine.
For as long as it takes, and that's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President. America stands with you, and the world stands with you. 1 year later, Kyiv stands.
We keep standing.
And Ukraine stands. Democracy stands. The American stands with you, and the world stands with you.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line. When is enough enough? How much money is enough money? I mean, $100 billion total taxpayers have funded the war in Ukraine. And I understand why we're doing it. I get it. But at what point in time do we stop writing blank checks?
But, you know, we are in a crazy time right now. I mean, we let surveillance balloons fly across our country, and this drives me crazy because national security shouldn't be a left or right thing. It just shouldn't. And common sense needs to prevail somewhere. But I kept hearing, well, wait a second. Half the world's on TikTok. You're giving everybody your information right there. We should let surveillance balloons fly over. It makes no sense. And then you've got North Korea, firing missiles into the Pacific, saying he's going to turn it into it's going to turn it into his own little gun range. And now you got this thing going on. It's like, when are we going to wake up and see what's happening here?
64636, also type in DA, then a quick comment. I mean, I think it's payback to Ukraine because Ukraine, they helped Hunter Biden. They helped line the pockets of the Biden family. Hunter Biden made millions off of Burisma. He never even went to Ukraine, and we don't even know what his job responsibilities were. But so Biden's last trip as vice president was to Ukraine to get the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma fired. So this is you help me, I'll help you. This is payback, I think, for the Biden family.
You have to wonder what KJP and the White House is going to do on a day when you wake up and the number one trending thing on Twitter is 10% to the big guy. You know, and that's stuff that you can't put a spin on that. You can't fix that. You know, social media has the ability to let people know exactly where they're at and what they think about in this world. And this administration's in trouble.
Well, and finally, we have a Republican Congress, thank God, to investigate Hunter Biden. Because we talked to the laptop owner, the computer owner, the computer store owner, excuse me. And he said he brought in three laptops. Two were completely damaged. He said when he walked in, he was completely inebriated. And he never picked up the laptop. And so with that laptop, we have information about Burisma, about the dealings with China and how much money they're making.
Wait till this comes out.
Some pretty disgusting pictures.
No. That's just kids being kids.
No. Well, there's one because I asked him specifically. So there's a lot of rumble and rumors. I hate to say the word rumors on radio, but that there's pictures of him and underage children. And the owner of the store said, I'm going to stop there, but I can tell you that there is something with his niece. So his dead brother, so he hooks up with his dead brother's wife, and he hits on one of her kids, hits on his niece. There was something nefarious about a picture with his niece.
And this store owner told you all this?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
But that sounds like a crime to me, but okay, it's the Bidens, so they get a pass.
Why is this guy?
While he's dating his brother's wife, he's hitting on her sister-in-law.
Well, you know what,
My
girlfriend has a pretty hot sister too, so I'll give him.
stop it!
I don't know what to. I don't even know how to comment.
I mean, how much could the Bidens get away with?
I mean, it's pretty filthy. It's pretty disgusting.
Well, President Trump took Biden to task for going to Ukraine instead of staying here and helping people in America that need help, you know, putting America first.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden is heading to East Palestine tomorrow.
No, no, no.
2 years.
I'm sorry. Trump.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Trump.
2 years, the destruction that they've done all over the last 2 years, the destruction that they've done in 2 years, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And even now you have a president going to Ukraine and you have people in Ohio that are in desperate need of help. And I was very proud to say that I announced I was going to Ohio. You know, FEMA said we're not going to give them anything. The Biden administration said we're not going to give them anything. And then I announced I'm going. Please sit down. Go ahead. Sit. We'll be here for a while. What do we have to do?
A typical Trump.
But they weren't going to get anything from FEMA. They weren't going to get anything from anybody. And then I announced I'm going. And FEMA said, oh, we'll give you whatever you want. Everybody's throwing it at them now. And you know what? I'm happy about that. That's good. We're going to go on Wednesday. But as soon as we announced we were going, the money started rolling in. But it's not supposed to be that way, is it?
You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, they're worried about the emissions that my Ford F-150 puts into the air because I'm killing America.
Right.
Every day I gas.
You need to do your part and get an electric car.
I need to.
That's what I keep hearing.
Don't even get me started on that. But, you know, here we're spilling toxins into the air, and the EPA is like, it's okay, the water's fine. There's nothing to see here. I don't get how we corroborate the actions that make up this country.
They set up a health care clinic in the town to help people. And there was a grandpa with his three granddaughters. I think it was on CNN or MSNBC. I don't remember which one. But they had rashes all over their hands and their face.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, using the water to wash their faces.
Eczema. Come on, Amy.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Winter. It's dry skin season.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Pat in Lockport. She joins us in Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. What I'd really like to say is I am so disgusted with that dimwit in diapers. I can hardly stand it. And how dare you? How dare you say that America is with you, Ukraine? You speak for yourself, you damn crook. It's your pockets that got lined with God knows how much. And then you turn around and say that Biden is the smartest man I know. Well, that's all you need to know. That whole damn family is so crooked, it turns my stomach. And then he wipes his behind with his own country and can't even go to where the disasters are and address them. He's nothing but slime. I'm sorry to say that, but that is nothing but the damn truth. Yeah. I have more respect for the crap on the bottom of my shoe than I have for that bastard.
Okay.
You guys have a good day.
Rich, you know, rich men start wars and poor families pay the price. It's been that way for years.
I know, and I just had to sign up my son for selective service because he just turned 18.
Let me tell you something.
And I just cringed pressing the send button.
How do you think he feels?
I said, this Ukraine stuff. Like, well, you better be paying attention, son.
Yeah.
Because this could be you.
Yeah, I still am, you know, my son out of college, doing well as a commercial real estate appraiser, but he's a lunatic.
Okay.
And I keep waiting for
him. I wonder
where
he got that from.
It's his mother.
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
She's crazy. She's unhinged. But I keep waiting for him to come home and say, Dad, I joined the Marines. But I don't think he would do that until something happens here, and then he's all in. Because him and his buddies, they're just ready.
Did he wear? He wore a T-shirt to school once.
Yeah, it was a shirt that said "United States back-to-back world champs," and his arms are sticking out of it because the kid's just he's just genetically perfect, and they sent him home, and I said, keep the shirt on, I'm driving you back to school.
But you're back. We were a back-to-back world champs. We won American, World War One. We won American, World War Two.
It was the American flag that caused the problems.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Did you go in and talk to the
principal? Oh, we went in.
And what did he say? Where'd you get?
He went back to class.
Okay. Yeah. He didn't have to turn it inside out?
No.
Because sometimes they make you turn
it. I told him, I said, we're going to do that. One of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to wear the shirt or he's going to take his shirt off and go shirtless for the rest of the day. What is it going to be?
All right, back to East Palestine. So the mayor is, have you seen this guy?
Yes.
He's a real down-to-earth, go-get-him type of guy.
And I did not like his video of him drinking the water, saying, I just took this water out of the tap, and now I'm going to drink it. It looked like a Saturday Night Live skit, but I like what he's saying in lieu of what happened yesterday.
He was in the Ukraine giving millions of dollars away to people over there, not to us, and I'm furious.
And he doesn't want Pete Buttigieg.
Mayor
that's
Pete.
What Dan calls him. Yeah. He doesn't want him to visit.
He looks
just stay home.
Remember Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, from the movies, Mr. Bean?
No.
Well, Google Mr. Bean and tell me if that's not Mayor Pete.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not coming, and former President Trump is visiting them tomorrow. And I mean.
And it's going to be great. I'm bringing some paper towels.
Oh, he better not throw paper towels. Let's keep it clean, President Trump.
Hear about the big stories of the day. Then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
I don't know if you've heard, but Mayor Lightfoot is a threat to our democracy.
Everything is a
threat to our democracy.
Yeah, really, it's a threat to our democracy.
Well, her saying this is an actual threat to our democracy.
Any vote coming on the side for somebody not named Lightfoot is a vote for Chuy Garcia or Paul Vallis.
That's it.
If you want them controlling your fate and your destiny, then stay home. Then don't vote. But we've got to do better. Right? We have this moment, this opportunity to take control of our own destiny, and that means we've got to get out and vote. No one can stay home.
Get out and vote, but if you're not voting for me, stay home.
Yeah. Isn't it? I hearken and liken this kind of behavior to a guy that's been cheating on his wife, and all of a sudden he's sorry, and I'm going to be better next time. Well, where have you been for the last four flipping years?
So,
how is it going to get better in the future?
So she was asked that, of course, right off the bat after she cast her early vote yesterday with her wife and her daughter by her side. And, are you ready for this? Just the heat of the moment. I wasn't being serious.
If I said anything other than everybody everywhere needs to vote, then I misspoke in the heat of a campaign rally. But I've been very consistent all along saying everybody everywhere needs to step up and they need to vote, just as I said today.
Gotta step up. I'm so sick of hearing I have to step up and do my part. Here she goes again and asked in a different way.
If you look at what I've consistently said everywhere that I've gone, I encourage people, I frankly beg them to participate in our democracy to vote. So if I misspoke, then I misspoke.
But of course, each candidate, again, so offended by what she said. Sophia King.
We certainly need somebody who's not trying to suppress people's votes. We need somebody who can bring us together as a city.
Paul Vallis, turncoat.
Are you going to tell people not to vote when, many of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, suffered and sacrificed for the right to vote? So I think it was irresponsible.
And CTU suck toy Brandon Johnson.
We're not going to allow people, including this administration, to provoke fear and anxiety.
Oh, yes, fear and anxiety. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line, is that a good enough explanation?
You want fear and anxiety, just go down to Chicago any night of the week. Once the sun goes down, you're on your own.
Do people even go down to? I heard they're closing bars at 8 o'clock at night.
It was, I've been there. Bars. I've been in the city, per se, downtown a lot lately, and it's closed. I mean, it's a shame.
Have you driven down State Street? People need to do that because I kept telling Dan, we're turning into Detroit. We're turning into Detroit. And he said, as long as Ken Griffin's here, we'll be fine. But Ken Griffin's gone now, and we are turning into Detroit.
Ken Griffin, you know what he did? His candidate didn't win, so he packed up his bags, and he moved to Florida with his tail between his legs or something like that.
He always had a place in West Palm.
According to Governor J.B. Pritzker. Unbelievable.
Who's trying so hard to be relevant right now on a national stage.
Yeah.
What can make him popular? Oh, I know. I'll rip on DeSantis. Yeah. Then people will pay attention to me. I travel a lot, and I always just, you know, try to check the pulse of the people. Mm-hmm. I'll say I'm from Chicago, and they're like, oh, you're Mayor Lightfoot. Whew. She's awful. And then I say, do you know who our governor is? And people don't know who he is.
You know what's amazing is and I know that it's
weird.
I know that there's a difference between building a road in this blue clay dirt that we have here in Chicago and in the Midwest. And I get that it's decidedly different and the weather's nicer in Florida. But the dude built a road in 12 days after a hurricane. You know, I mean, give me a break.
So impressive.
Yeah. And it's funny because
he got it done. That's real leadership right there.
If he did anything wrong, people would know about it. You would know about it. If there were people suffering, you would know about it because the media is ready to trounce on this guy. You saw it yesterday here in the state of Illinois. They're ready. And now all of a sudden you see a picture of DeSantis, and I love this one. There's a picture of DeSantis with some women, okay?
Yeah.
And there's three girls there. They're all fully clothed.
Is he smelling their hair?
They're young.
Uh-oh.
So is he. It looks like a picture somebody took at a college dorm. Everybody's got their clothes on. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's having a good time. And I'm like, if this is what you can bring up on this guy.
They're trying to bash him on that?
Good luck to you.
Oh my! Well, who are the girls? Now I want to know.
I don't know. Just cute college girls. I mean, it would have been something any of us, most of us would have done.
Politicians take pictures, you know?
Well, he was a kid.
Let's quickly go to Frank in Arlington Heights. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning. Well, first of all, I want to go back to the hanging chads voting type of style. That's what I want. That's all I want. I want to get one of those things back. But Pritzker, you know, trying to stay relevant. You know, when he went to the WEF back in January, their little Davos show. You know, he got all dressed up, and looked all nice. His hair was combed a little better. And, you know, does he realize that? You know, he was basically the hired help there. That's what he was. I mean, you know,
they just need his money.
But compared to them, I mean, he's an underling compared to them. And, you know, that didn't work for him. So, yeah, he's trying to stay relevant. He thinks he has a chance at winning the Democratic nomination in 24-28.
All right.
I don't know what he's thinking.
You know what? I say waste your money, spend it. Americans, they don't want a fat president.
You know where I'd love to see
it? And I know I'm going to take heat for that.
I know
but
you
they
will.
Do not want. Right. And I talked to my friend. He's like, I'm fat. No one would vote for me for president. I get it. I'm not voting for a fat president.
I'd like to see him in a WWF. Oh. Now, that would be fun. You know, a shirtless match. You know, like a ladder match.
Sumo wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. America First with Sebastian Gorka. Today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560. The Answer.
Do you know the words to this song? Oh, you don't even have your headsets on.
No, because I'm closing
it. You know, we're paying you here.
You know, I will tell you this. Can I tell you something?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Ray Stevens.
Ramblin' Ray. You can follow me on social media. You'll fall in love with me.
Yeah, well, what is your handle for Twitter?
I'm on CB Radio Channel 19, Midnight Rider.
Okay.
What? Yeah, come on now here on CB 19. No, you can follow me. It's Ramblin' Ray on Facebook, Ramblin' Ray on Twitter, Ramblin' Ray Ray on Instagram. I'm all over the place because I am a Foster Radio fill-in, and I'm just trying to be relevant in this crazy world.
And he's trying to find a home.
You will. It would be nice, but
Chicago's
I will tell you.
Chicago's known for resurrecting radio personalities, trust me.
And I'm good.
You are good. And I'm glad that you know you're good, because that's the first start.
This is the best-paying radio station in Chicago for fill-in work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do tell how much you're making, because maybe we can get a share of it.
Oh, no, no.
Because you can give them, oh, it's not, it's cut nothing, me in, and then I'll,
it's,
you know,
nothing compared to the, to the, to the money the that, you know, all these big-time sponsors, oh, yeah, send you and Dan, you know, the U-lines and everybody, but oh, I'm doing okay.
Please. All right, well, you were here in December, last December, around the 15th, when Joe Perillo, and everybody knows who Joe Perillo is, mm-hmm, if you've lived in Chicago and seen the vehicles, his dealership was not robbed of any vehicles, but some high-end watches. Yeah, it was a smash-and-grab situation during the middle of the day.
Year ago December.
Yes.
Yes.
Year ago December.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I had Joe on the radio because
father, we had him on here, too.
My father's company put the heating and air conditioning in Joe's, one of his locations in Chicago, his old BMW dealership, and I had a chance to meet him as a young kid, and I was just so impressed with him.
Yeah.
And I always was a fan. And then when this happened, he was brought to tears about the deterioration of the city that he loves. And I was just struck by, here's a guy that worked hard for what he has. Nobody gave him anything.
Nope.
And then somebody comes in and they think, oh, well, you know what, I can take it. And it broke the guy's heart. And that's what really caught me, is you know, this guy didn't really care about, I mean, he cared about what happened, and he said, look, I'm not out of any money here. It's the guy that was selling the watches that he set up in my store.
Right, rented the space from.
And, yeah. But he was just, what struck me about him is he was sad for the demise of the city.
Yep, and all of us who live in the city have a big decision to make 1 week from today. I know early voting has already started, but polls open 6 a.m., 1 week from today. So with that, we welcome back to the program Joe Perillo, owner of Perillo, BMW, and much, much more. Good morning, Mr. Perillo. How are you?
I am talking to you from my bed.
Oh, well, that sounds fantastic, Hugh Hefner. I hope you're on a silk robe.
I must be crazy doing this because I'm out of my comfort zone right now, talking about a mayor, once she hears that I was on and what I'm about to say, I'll no doubt get retribution. there'll be people writing me up tickets. I know that. And if that happens, I'll be back on the air again with you.
Yeah, because, tell people what happened. So she came to, after you were robbed, and it was a high-profile case, it was made national news, she came to visit you at your dealership.
Well, she called me. She had someone reach out for me and ask if she could call me and have a conversation. I gave my number to the person she had reached out. And she texted me 6:35. Funny thing was 6:45 in the morning on a Thursday, and asked if what would be a good time. She texted me, what time is a good time to call you? And I text her back, Your Honor, you could call me now. I'm up. And she did. And she said, when can I, I'd like to talk to you. When can I meet with you? I says, well, anytime you'd like, Your Honor. When would you like to come to my office? She asked me if I'd come to City Hall. And I said, no, I'm not going to come to City Hall, which wound up to be a great decision that I made not to go to City Hall. She said, why won't I go to City Hall? I said, Your Honor, you called me. You want to come and see me? My door's open to you. She came with the chief of police and the chief of staff, and I was very, very cordial to her. I thought she wanted to, I was kind of angry, and I said, what would you like to talk about? And I gave her a couple compliments, and I told her.
Don't answer that. That could be her.
right.
Don't answer that door, Mr. Perillo.
Landshark.
Probably her.
Room service.
I'm already getting calls right now.
The bottom line, didn't she tell you that this kind of was your fault because you didn't have private security there?
Yeah, well, I had told her, I said, what's your plan, Your Honor? I said, you went to University of Chicago, which is a brilliant school. I said, Albert Einstein helped design the atomic bomb there. And I said, Albert Einstein said, it's insanity if you keep doing the same thing and you expect the different results. It's insanity. And I said, so what's your plan for the security? And I said, you know, I have these kids, there's got to be retribution. what's your plan? And I said, you just can't catch these kids and let them go. And she said, well, they're not the problem. She said, they're only young kids. She says, and they're innocent until they're proven guilty in the United States. And she said, they deserve a day in court. She said, and we think that instead of incarcerate them and feed them and house them, she said, we'll just let them go and they could go to work the next morning until their court date comes up.
Yeah, they go to work.
So,
robbing other people.
I was wondering, I said, if they were working, why would they be out there stealing? And I said, so, Your Honor, you don't think if someone steals $950 worth of goods, I said, that they're criminals? And anyway, it got into, she started yelling at me. And I gave her about two or three passes. She didn't answer the question. And I told her she'd have to leave, and she got real insulted and got up. Well, I told her this meeting's over, Your Honor. And I got a call from City Hall and later, and they said, from my friend who brought her in to me, said, I'm probably the only person who threw a mayor out of their office, you know.
Yeah. So, well, but then the next day you got tickets for what?
Next day I got five
mask violations.
I got five tickets. One of them was for having liquor on my premises in my dealership, and one was selling liquor without a license. I don't sell liquor without those. I got dismissed. Two tickets were for having no face masks on. There was my salesman was in a car with a customer, and she asked if they could take the face masks off since we're in a car, and we got two tickets for that. And we got two tickets. We got a ticket for. My person being rude to her, not giving her they asked for my operating license, and he showed it to her and he walked away. He handed it to her. He's a very polite. He's an Asian gentleman. He's very polite. He handed it to her. He didn't want to get in a confrontation. He handed it and walked away and got a ticket for that.
So were all these tickets dismissed?
No, the two for the face mask were not dismissed, and I was going to fight it. I said, you know, I have to live with her for a couple of years. So what I'm doing right now, when I'm saying this right now publicly, I must be crazy, because I know if she wins again, it's going to be. But if she wins again, I doubt if I'll stay in the city.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Not only move out.
Not only do you get a 15-yard penalty for the face mask call, but my question to you, Joe, is where's your other dealerships located? I know you're out in the suburbs. Why wouldn't you just go there?
You know, I love Chicago.
I know.
I've been born and raised in Chicago. I could live anywhere, and I'm past the retirement age, you know, and I could live anywhere, and I don't really have to work. I love it. I love the city. I live in the city. I was born and raised in the city. I raised my kids in the suburbs. Couldn't wait till they got to college so we could move into the city, back to the city. I travel a lot. This was the greatest city in the United States, one of the greatest cities in the country. People love this city. I travel. Last year I was six times in Europe, which was too much. After they lifted the pandemic, all these companies start having meetings. So I was back and forth to Europe six times. Every place I go around the United States, when I say Chicago, they tell me, do you have to carry a gun? Is it safe? Do you have to carry a gun? I do. I'm fearful. I'm a licensed gun carrier, but I'm fearful for my life like everyone else. I mean, I walk to my car. I'm looking all ways. I mean, yeah, I'm uncomfortable. A lot of people are uncomfortable. This isn't the city I know and I love. I mean, I just think, what it's about is change. The word is change. If you don't change anything, you can't expect any different results. Now, what motivated this call to you is this. You got a week left. There's a lot of voters out there that are a little confused with all these candidates, and they don't, at this point, they don't know who to vote for. Well, I say the one that you don't vote for is Lori Lightfoot. I mean, she has brought this city down to its knees. We don't watch another 4 years, this will be Detroit. I'll be out of here. I have a dealership in Michigan. I have two dealerships in Downers Grove, I'm about to move Rolls Royce to Downers Grove, so I'll have another dealership there. I pay a lot of taxes. I employ 200 people. I've been a dealer for 41 years. We have, you know, we get all kind of awards for having customer attention. This is not a commercial for me.
Success speaks for itself. Yeah, we know that.
Why I'm saying that is I have loyal customers who phone an order in to me. Okay? I have our doors at Gold Coast are locked. You have to have an appointment. You have to get buzzed in. We have three entrances. We only have one open, and a person has to get buzzed in. I won't allow anyone with a face mask to come in unless we buzz them in. They take a picture of them coming in, and no hoodies, no hoodies in my place. Because these kids are so bold. And by the way, I do not blame these kids that are robbing us. They're the players. I blame the game. We're allowing them to do this, and they're going back to their neighborhood, and they're rock stars. Hey, man, you don't have to go to school. The schools are empty over there on the south side and the west side, and I'm not being prejudiced, but what's happening is why they're empty is the role models are on the corner. The 18- and 20-year-old kids who robbed me are now 11 and 12 and 13 years old kids who get a gun. They watch video games and they know how to work a gun, and they get a gun and they come out. They want a car. They hijack a car. The police.
Well, did they ever catch? They catch the kids who did this?
They caught the one guy. They got to caught the one guy, and I have to give credit to Chief David Brown. He promised me that he would. He would catch him, and he caught one of them.
Well, what happened to him? Did he get slapped on the wrist?
I guess he got 3 years.
He's
probably out now.
I just want to say this, because when I first talked to you about this, you've had time now to soak it in, to feel it, to now, sum it up and talk about it. But when you first talked about this, man, and Joe, I hope I'm all right by saying this, but I had you on the radio, and you were in tears. You were in tears because you love this city. And this was killing you. So I don't want anybody.
Well, I wasn't in tears. I was angry.
Yeah.
I wasn't in tears, but I was angry.
All right.
But first, let me just say this. Let me give a shout out to the Chicago Police Department.
All right.
This is not about them. They're the greatest. I love the Chicago Police. Their hands are tied. We have to untie their hands. And when I hear commercials by Lori Lightfoot saying that crime is down, and people, I don't believe people could believe this. I don't see how anyone could believe
with
crime
numbers.
Is down, because it's not only downtown now. It's going to Lincoln Park. It's going to it's going into the neighborhoods, and it's going to escalate.
It's in all 77 neighborhoods. So you have, have you decided who you are going to vote for a week from now, or do you want to keep that close to the chest?
I have to keep that close to my vest because I'm in business. I have customers that all have their own opinion. So I just can't go vocal. But I'll tell you what, the one thing we all have in common, the two things we have in common, I don't care what color you are, I don't care religion, what gender, we are all Chicagoans. We should all be together to solve this problem. We need a change. Okay? We need a change. She has been incompetent. She has, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse. Now, the second thing we all have in common is we all are entitled to be safe.
Yep.
We should all feel safe. We've got to attack this crime. There's plenty of things. There's things, but if you gave me 10 my priorities would be on the first top 10. The first three would be safety, safety, safety.
Yep.
Now, how is that affecting everyone besides safety, beside the safety? Is the taxes. Businesses are not thriving. Businesses are surviving. We're in a survival mode. Okay? Businesses are moving out of Chicago. And if Lightfoot gets in, there's a lot more businesses that are going to leave Chicago. What is that going to do to the people who can't leave Chicago, who have jobs in Chicago? With the drop-off of, first of all, conventions are down, tourisms are down, and by the way, wherever I go, people say, Chicago's our one of our favorite cities, but we're afraid to come there. They're waiting for a change so they could come here. This city has things that I travel all over the world. We have things in Chicago that no one could have. Okay, but it takes safety. When you take tourism out of Chicago,
right?
When you take conventions out of Chicago,
when you have
suburban people who are afraid to come to Chicago that used to come for the weekend,
right?
That are afraid to come to Chicago. When you take Chicagoans who live here, who don't go to restaurants like they did in Chicago, they go to the suburbs.
You know what, Mr. Perillo, we're up against the clock here, but I want to thank you so much for joining us, and you're a true Chicagoan, and you're a true success story.
You have to allow me to finish this. You told me you would do that.
Right.
When you take this revenue out of all these businesses, okay, the sales tax revenue goes down. In order to make budget, they have to raise our taxes. Our property taxes are going higher, and that's affecting everyone. So we need a change.
We're going to get it, Joe.
All right,
we'll
thank you so
buddy,
much.
Always good to hear from you, man. Well,
I'll be back on
when I
get about 10 tickets tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. Hopefully there'll be no retaliation this time.
Unreal.
Did that. He had 5 tickets. Yeah. Oh, we forgot to ask him how much a face mask violation was.
Yeah, that's 15 yards and 15 grand probably.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
All right. Good morning, Amy Jacobson. Let's start over. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here, Ray Stevens, and for Dan Proft.
Thanks for putting your makeup on for me. I want to know this.
Oh, that's right. I didn't put my makeup on for you. I can't stand wearing makeup.
I thought you had it on. You look glowing.
No, I just put a little blush.
No, that's because it. I always get text messages or Twitter responses. People say, hey, I notice when you fill in with Amy, she smiles a lot and she puts her makeup on.
Oh, that's right. Smile, yes. But I'm in a different position, you know, it's a different camera angle.
Right.
So yesterday, what did you do yesterday afternoon?
Well, I was down in Chicago doing some stuff with my radio friend, Kathy Hart, who was in town.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was going to go out to the DeSantis thing in Elmhurst. but
what happened?
I didn't get invited. Oh. I was in touch with Jeannie, my friend Jeannie Ives. But then we lost contact, and I didn't make it out there.
Meaning she didn't call
you
back.
She didn't hit me back.
You didn't get a ticket in. But it was the big gig in town yesterday.
That's where the who's who were.
And Governor DeSantis, you know, touting the fact that crime is at the lowest point it has been in Florida in 50 years, and here's why.
I think it's representative.
Oh, that's not why.
The reason why you have crime that has spiraled out of control in so many of these different areas is because you have politicians putting woke ideology ahead of public safety.
And that's a big problem. And I love that he took Governor Pritzker to task, you know, when all of us were stuck here. He got his family out before he shut down Illinois.
Yes, during COVID, even though your governor would lock you down and have his family in Florida living and free. And many other lockdown politicians would do that. It became like a cottage industry that they'd always end up attacking Florida, that we were somehow being reckless by letting people make their decisions. Then you'd see them down in Palm Beach or you'd see them down in Miami. So
And I love it because every single politician that ripped on Governor DeSantis,
they went
to Florida. Yeah. Even AOC was down there in Miami enjoying herself with her fiance, living her life.
Right.
Escaping the lockdown state. So.
And, you know, and you have to understand that when they, you know, and when Pritzker throws this back at DeSantis and he says he cooked the books on the COVID numbers and everything else, you know, photos and the internet will not let you lie anymore because there you were. There was your family. They were down there. You can't lie about that.
And Pritzker recently spoke at an event in Florida to the Florida Democrats, calling Governor DeSantis homophobic with tendencies to promote racism.
What did he talk to? Like were there 10 people there? Isn't that how
no,
many?
No, there's some Democrats.
15 Democrats in Florida?
Maybe 20.
Okay.
But let's get more now from our guest, former state rep, former gubernatorial candidate and good friend of the program, Jeannie Ives. Good morning, Jeannie. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So first off, where was Ray's invitation?
I was late. I asked late.
Oh my God. I
give you wiggle room. You know that. Because I found out about this Sunday, and I'm like, oh, I've got to be there. I've got to go to this.
That's the hottest ticket in town.
No, that's cool.
No, it actually was supposed to be very much word of mouth only, under the radar, text to text only of the invitation link. And then,
what happened?
Of course, somebody, what was that?
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Well, obviously, I think it came from Chicago FOP. That's what the reports are, that they kind of put out a bulk email, which we were told not to. I was asked to just get involved because, you know, I do know a lot of folks. And unfortunately, I know a lot of law enforcement. I know other people that know law enforcement. It was really a law enforcement event, and that's ended up really being what it was.
And did
they had limited space available, and then it just became this, 500 people RSVP'd at least that were on lists that I saw. We could only fit, you know, about 250 in the room. So, unfortunately, people didn't get in.
What was it like?
It was a great event.
I was going to say, what was it like to see men and women of our, law enforcement agencies being talked to from somebody that actually really, at the end of the day, supports them?
Well, they were all very much excited to get in there and to be right up there in front with the Governor DeSantis. And there was a lot of cheering at times during his speech. Like, this is a very much pro-law enforcement Governor DeSantis is. And it's really the opposite of what you see happening here. And in fact, there's one point that Governor DeSantis was remarking about how he was going to, if people were rioting, he was going to completely shut that down. If people were attacking police during riots, they were going to get prosecuted. And I was standing in the far back, and there was another policeman from Chicago there. And he's like, that happened to me. That happened to me. Somebody, threw stuff at him and nothing happened. Well, under DeSantis, the police are respected and their jobs are considered really important. In fact, he's giving $5,000 signing bonuses for people who want to move down there to become a police officer. They're also going to get $1,000 training bonuses. They get additional if they have a really good family empowerment scholarship program in Florida. And, if you happen to make too much money to qualify it, if you're police, you get one of those scholarships anyway. So he's got a lot of incentives because it's just very much a sign of respect towards the police and the job that they have to do.
So this was the third city in his pro police tour. I was hearing rumblings that he might announce his candidacy for president, which obviously didn't happen and would not happen on such a small stage. But when do you think that is going to happen, Jeannie?
Well, I'm hopeful that it's, sometime this summer. I mean, I think a lot of us are hopeful that he definitely, steps forward and goes to the national stage. We certainly could use everything from his fiscal management to his just common sense thoughts about respecting individuals instead of respecting government. And that's really the tenor of his entire time as governor. He said, no, I trust the people to know what's best for them. And so he's kind of formed all of his policies around that.
I mean, optically, you look at this guy, and we all know that what you have to look like in front of a stage, in front of a camera, politically. The wife, the kids, she's battling cancer. There doesn't seem to be a lot of dirt on this guy unless you just don't like what he stands for.
I don't think there's any dirt. If there was,
they'd have it.
They'd have it.
I mean, the Democrats have really painted themselves into a corner here with who they have available to run should Joe decide he doesn't want to run and be 86 when he's done with the next term. I don't see any way that the Democrats have a shot here, do you?
I don't see a way. And, I mean, I hope Pritzker does run. I hope he runs because we need that sort of attention nationally on what's happened in the state of Illinois, which they have destroyed a great state. Their policies are destructive. And, you know, DeSantis, too, he takes on his own party, too, by the way. Governor Pritzker doesn't do that at all. The Republicans were bemoaning the fact that Ron DeSantis had cut, you know, billions of dollars from his last budget for projects that they wanted. Oh, well, I got to tell you, it was kind of fun because there were some rhinos in that room. I mean, I know a lot of these people. And when DeSantis started to go off on school choice and how important it is and school choice, I'm like, great. You people who have taken all that IEA money that are Republicans, pay attention. Pay attention. I thought it was, you know, instructive for them as well.
How many rhinos were in the room, Jeannie?
Oh, there are plenty of them.
All right. So our I think, common friend, because we both talked to him, especially about this, Paul Vallis, mayoral race is 1 week from today. And he denounced DeSantis' visit, calling him a right-wing extremist, saying, "I wholeheartedly agree with Governor Pritzker that there's simply no place in Chicago for a right-wing extremist like Ron DeSantis, and I'm disappointed in FOP leadership for inviting him here to speak. His record of trying to erase LGBTQ community, banning books on Black history, and much more is not in line with my values." So the FOP leadership sponsored yesterday's event, and the FOP leadership is still backing Paul Vallis. And here's what he said yesterday when confronted by reporters. "Did you really mean what you said about DeSantis?"
"I'm not paying any attention to DeSantis or any attention to, you know, those, the DeSantis supporters. I'm, you know, this is, the city's at the crossroads. We have a leadership crisis." But
so why did he say anything at all, and what should he say to position himself to win?
Well, he made a colossal mistake, and I called him about it, and, you know, whatever, and I texted him. I said, "I just don't think that was productive." You know, he's going to run the race. He's going to run. It is what it is. But what's really shameful is like the name calling, because how productive is that? It's not. But that's also what you heard out of Governor Pritzker. Sean Kasten, his first tweets are, he's a racist and a coward. Really? Really? Governor DeSantis, who served in uniform, is a racist and a coward?
Yeah.
I mean, these people are terrible folks. And then the whole thing about them and their you know, they're special interest groups going out there and saying, "Oh, well, here's the reservation link. Here's the reservation link," and putting out public. Like, how small-minded do you have to be to step in on a private event? I mean, you're that scared of somebody coming from Florida to talk to people in Illinois? It's just remarkable. I don't know. I mean, you can't. The records between Florida and Illinois are alarming. We spend 75% more than Florida does on education, K-12, and their scores are better than ours. Florida scores are better than ours. We spend a lot more money. Just everything about Florida is so much better economically, from a freedom standpoint, than Illinois. And all these guys can do is name call.
I know. Look at, I mean, $21.8 billion budget surplus. In Florida, no state income tax, open during COVID. We're $6.2 billion in debt and counting, and we have a 4.5% state income tax. So you can't even compare the two. And people, these politicians and these protesters, they don't even know. There is no "don't say gay" bill. It's a parental rights bill. But they're going with the "don't say gay." And they're not, I mean, are they just, can we ever get through to these people, or is it just a losing battle?
Well, you know, the really funny thing about it is like, how many teachers, public sector union folks do you know retire and go to Florida?
Yeah.
I think we all know them.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them that do that. And then, of course, you know, spot on. I mean, Pritzker and his wife, you know, spent Florida, COVID time in Florida. It's just, They're just the biggest hypocrites out there, and they're inept and incapable. And imagine this. I mean, you know, things are heating up. I really am concerned about national security issues right now. I don't like what I see going on with the Russian-Ukraine war, with China and their military buildup. And if you really read into any of this, which I don't think any of these politicos do in this state, but if you really read into it, it's kind of a precarious situation here. And to have to elect yet another fumbling Democrat who can't exhibit leadership on the international level, It's wrong.
You bring up a great point.
None of these Democrats are putting their kids in uniform.
Jeannie, you bring up a great point because, you know, we're told not to worry about these surveillance balloons. They're okay. There's nothing to worry about. They know what we have here anyway. You guys are all on TikTok, so these surveillance balloons shouldn't be any big deal. Now you got North Korea firing off more missiles. You got Ukraine and Russia. That thing just keeps amping up. At what point do people not get together and just say, hey, man, This is a test of our resolve to see how long we're going to let this happen, and that we let it happen is not good for national security. National security shouldn't be a left or right issue. It's absolutely disgusting right now. Wake up.
Well, I worry that we're not prepared for the response. I don't know that we are technically. I don't know if we are in terms of military assets. And I don't know that we are in terms of training of people. But the other thing is there's so many people with soft minds and soft bodies in this country that I don't think that we as a populace are ready for what may happen.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there this morning. Jeannie Ives, co-founder of Breakthrough Ideas and former member of the Illinois House of Representatives for the 42nd District and should have been our governor. I remember that election day. My kids were screaming out the winter, Jeannie Ives. And it was so cute. I loved it.
Follow Breakthrough Ideas. They do some really good work right there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. If that's moving up, then I'm
moving out. If Brandon Johnson becomes mayor, because
I'm going to hold you to that.
No, I'm not one of these Hollywood stars who says I'm moving to Canada if Trump wins.
Right.
I seriously am going to move because he's going to put on an extra tax for people who make $90,000 or more.
You make more than 90 grand? Are you kidding me?
I have three jobs, Ray, but here's the problem. 34% of CPS teachers make more than 100 grand.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And they're supporting him.
You know, it's amazing because if you look at our neighboring states, everybody's reducing property tax, personal income tax, except here.
Oh, yeah. If you live in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah. I mean,
they're giving you checks back because they have this thing called a surplus. This is crazy.
And it's not like they're giving us money. They're giving us our own money back. So let's just be honest about that, too.
Well, yesterday, Mayor Lightfoot and the First Lady, Amy, and their daughter went to vote, cast their early vote. And she has decided, Mrs. Lightfoot has decided, Madam Mayor has decided that it's going to be a runoff between her and...
He's the same person. The Board of Elections simply has to do that.
Boy, you know, it would really help if I would get the right soundbite. But
This is why you don't make over 90 grand.
Justin, could you help me? Where's the soundbite with her saying who her running mate is going to be? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone?
I think a two-person race between me and Paul Vallis. And let me say a couple of things about that. One, we've got to keep moving our city forward. We have been through a once-in-a-lifetime set of challenges and headwinds over these last few years, obviously fueled by the global pandemic.
I like how everybody talks about, you know, fueled by the global pandemic, like it
just happened.
And like, please. It cost us money. I mean, it helped this state tenfold. You know, Pritzker talks about, you know, what I'm doing for the, and I've got this, you know, and I've built up the SERP. Bull, you got COVID money. Let's call it what it is.
Well, she took a pop right away because, you know, now that she's formally announced and made this declarative statement that it's going to be her and Paul Vallis, which I still think it might be her and Brandon Johnson, or not her. I think she's knocked out. And I think that it's going to be Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think she makes it.
Took a shot at Paul Vallis. Listen up.
Our ballots, and I think it will be one of the most consequential elections in recent memory. And I'm glad that my wife lives in the city of Chicago with me and can actually vote for me, unlike some.
Because Paul Vallis' wife lives in a different town. She doesn't live in Chicago. So anytime she could get him, she could get him. And she linked Paul Vallis to DeSantis, calling them the same person yesterday.
I like how they're always the most important elections of our lifetime.
Yes.
And you know what's at stake here? Democracy.
Exactly.
It's democracy at stake, and this is the most important election of our life. And, you know, it's amazing, though, because when Lori Lightfoot was elected, you know, you looked at her and you thought, okay, well, this isn't some, you know, establishment politician. Maybe things will change. And it was different. And man, how wrong was everybody?
Well, she did say over the weekend, if you're not going to vote for me,
don't vote.
Yeah. So you know what that is?
Yeah, that's
a threat to our democracy. Why did you do it, Mayor?
If I said anything other than everybody everywhere needs to vote, then I misspoke in the heat of a campaign rally. But I've been very consistent all along saying everybody everywhere needs to step up and they need to vote, just as I said today.
I like how it's
I never want to hear the word step up. I'm just like,
it's always a mistake. I misspoke. You know, it'd be so much more refreshing. And guys, this is a good thing for you, too, if you get in trouble with the lady. It's just say you're sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a couple words that can really work to your benefit. I'm sorry.
Just didn't have, you know, but she say, oh, no, I mean, I didn't mean it because it was the heat of the moment. Yeah, you meant it. Because when she said it, the audience went, there was an audible gasp. Like, should just tell people not to vote?
Yeah.
That's a threat to our democracy. With more on this and the mayoral race and Governor DeSantis's that evil man's visit, let's welcome back to the program Ted Dabrowski, president of Wire Points, wirepoints.com. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Ramblin' Ray.
Hey,
so
bud.
Did Mayor Lightfoot, was that an acceptable attempt at trying to apologize for telling people to stay home and not to vote if you're not going to vote for her?
No, it's just, you know, what can you say about it, Amy? It's she can't say that. She can't apologize. It's just all messed up. And I think, you know, what captures for me, and I was just looking at some stats last night about, you know, her management problem is that, you know, how much crime is up this year? So if you take the first 6 weeks of this year, compare them to 6 weeks a year ago, same time frame.
What do we got?
Crime is up 58%. Oh. You know, she... Yeah, so we were up 41% year on year last year, right? So massive increase. And here we are, another 58% on top of that. And, you know, it just makes you wonder, like, you would think that with her control of the police, you know, she's the mayor, she's got control of all that, she would try to figure out how to keep the numbers low while she's running for mayor. And no, instead, it's spiking even more. It's fascinating.
So from the polls that you're seeing, because there's different polls, and, you know, Mayor Lightfoot's camp will have one, and then Paul Vallis's camp will have another, who do you see the final two being? Because we have nine candidates, so who's going to, we know who we can get off the list, like Jamal Green, probably Sophia King, Roderick Sawyer, but who do you think is in the running?
Well, yeah, you want to think that Vallis has been in the running all along. He seems to show up all the time near the top or, you know, one of the tops. And then you got this battle going on between Lightfoot, which maybe, you know, she can surprise because, you know, who knows, right? And then you got Brandon Johnson, who's making his big spend with all the CTU money. You've got Willie Wilson, who I think has been the most consistent messaging-wise, I think. It's hard for me to pin. I don't know. You know, it's hard to know which polls to trust. So I won't venture on that. But I think it's we're going to see what the Chicago voters surprise us with.
Well,
yeah,
I'm not
trusting polls since 2016. I gave up on those. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Brandon Johnson, so he's backed by the CTU. He used to be on the CTU, former teacher. How does this work? So he received $1 million. They borrowed $1 million that they borrowed in dues money against future contributions. How is that legal?
Yeah, you know, so they took a bunch of money, which is operating money for the union. So all these teachers are putting their money into the union fund, and it's supposed to be there for, you know, helping negotiate salaries and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly, and, you know, and again, I don't know the legal side of this, so I'm not going to opine on that. But here they take $1 million, lend it to the PAC, which then gives it to Brandon Johnson, and then in theory they're going to pay it back with dues coming, you know, in the future, which apparently Tribune's reported that they did this once before a few years ago, and it still hasn't been paid back. So yeah, if you're if you're a union, if you're a teacher, you're like, wait a minute, that's my money, and you're putting it into politics. Maybe they like Brandon Johnson, maybe they don't. But again, it just kind of shows you the whatever you want to think of CTU, they're not a school movement. They are a political militant group that's all about, you know, it's all about politics and their power.
And I wish people would never forget what the CTU did during COVID, because they didn't want to go back to school. They didn't want to teach from the grave. They told these two fifth grade girls that they brought COVID home to their mothers and killed their mothers. And they did not. Waited for toxicology report. The one mom never, ever even had COVID. Died from alcoholism on a street, like 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, just passed out and died. Acute alcoholism. The other mom, she didn't die from COVID. She died with COVID. She had severe comorbidities. She would not get vaccinated. She had hypertension, diabetes, a heart murmur. I mean, you name it, she had it.
All the things that went along with all the COVID diagnoses anyway.
But I'm just saying, they made these little girls, and they never apologized mm-hmm. to them. No one, and I don't know if anybody at this school ever took them aside and said, that guilt that you must feel and carry with you, please, it was a lie from the CTU. So I will never, ever in my life forgive them for that. Never forgive them for taking shots ahead of people in group homes. Because the first thing Jesse Sharkey said, I will go back. We'll go back to school, but we just want one shot. Well, at least one shot. And he would say, just one shot, please. And they said, pee hat wearer. And then after that, what did they come back with? Well, now we need two shots in order for us to go back to school. And when it came, the bottom line, high schoolers had 8 days of in-person learning from 2020 to 2021. And that is just, you know, disgusting what we did to our children.
Yeah, the sad thing is most people have forgotten all that. You know, that's the hard part of all this, is that people move on and they forget the power the CTU has. And, you know, for me, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, you know, Republican, Democrat, or, you know, liberal, conservative, whatever. You know, you have to look at the CTU as probably the most, you know, most powerful militant teachers union in the country.
They're extortionists.
And no union should have that much power. You know, we've shown how many times they've struck over the last 25, 30 years, and over the last 4 years, right, or the last decade, four times. They have way too much power, and they use it not just to negotiate big salaries and all that, but they use it, like you said, to close down schools, to force vaccinations, to force masks, keep kids at home. And you're talking about minority kids who suffered. And, you know, if you look at the education results, they've been dismal. They were dismal before COVID. Now they're even worse. And you know, and they own a lot of that.
You know, and that's the thing I can't reconcile with. You know, we could talk all day long about the propensity for Democrats to vote and how we vote in this city. But you look at the results of what the school puts out, and I just don't understand how we still put the same people in charge over and over and over again. Because, I mean, all this is quid pro quo, right? I mean, here, we're going to give you the money. You're going to get elected. We've got a contract coming up. It's time to pay back, baby, right?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. So we've written a lot about education in the last few months and the dismal results. And we put out a piece a few days ago, right, that showed there were 53 schools in Illinois, the majority of them in Chicago, where zero kids, not a single kid, could read at grade level in those schools.
Oh.
And math was similar. And it's, you know, the people in Illinois will not cover that, with the exception of, you know, with you guys, Amy. The mainstream media will not cover it. But what's been fascinating is the national coverage we got on that this past week. It has gone everywhere. And,
good.
You know, if the guys like Pritzker and others don't want to acknowledge the failure here, the rest of the country's seeing it. And, you know, and that's sad. It shouldn't be that way. But they're seeing it just like they're seeing the crime. Now they're seeing these horrendous results of what they're doing to our kids in Illinois.
And I think we need an apology, something. Or just to recognize, you know what we did was wrong, but I don't think we're ever going to get that. Let's move on to Paul Vallis. What should he do to position himself to get back some voters that he PO'd with his DeSantis comment?
Yeah, you know, Paul has got a lot of solutions. We've heard them all. There's so much problems in crime, and I think he should have just stuck with that. And, you know, I think first, number one, I don't care who we have for mayor, and I don't care what side they're on. They can't be for canceling people and doing that stuff that just happened to DeSantis. Whether you like him or not, DeSantis, we have to stop canceling people. So this equity agenda that we have just become obsessive in Chicago has to end, because we'll never, ever be a great city. We'll never take care of poor people. We'll never fix our problems if we keep focusing on equity. So Paul should have dumped that and not gone that route.
Well, you know,
who talked him into that? I mean, was that his campaign manager? Because that was not Paul. Even reading that statement, I'm like, who is this? Who is writing this? This is not Vallis.
Yeah, you know, they all did it. Sadly, you know, Wilson came in. They all did the same thing. They're all right. They all feed into that stuff. But you know, it's easy for not just Vallis, but any others. Look, I mentioned the 58% crime spike crime that we had this year. We had 400,000 high priority 911 calls that were never answered, or they're eventually answered like an hour or two later. We had 15,000 alleged crimes done by people who were released, you know, on no bail or, you know, in Cook County. This stuff goes on, an arrest rate of 5% in Chicago. That's where the focus should be for all these candidates. You know, let's get this crime fixed, because if you don't fix crime, forget everything else, right? And that's the number one priority.
It's amazing that we cry that it's the gun's fault, yet this is what we do. We take the people that commit the crimes and we let them out 5 minutes later. I don't, again, understand how we have warped people's minds and brains to work this way in this city. It's not this state per se. It's this area up here we live in. You get down there a little south, a little west, it's okay. It's all right. But this is nuts.
All right.
Yeah, you know, and Ray, just last thing, it's the media. It's the media that perpetuates the stories that these politicians tell, right? That the criminals are the victims, and they forget the real victims. And those real victims are typically Blacks or Latinos, right? They are the people that get killed or attacked. It's Blacks and Latinos. So this whole equity thing is just all upside down, like you say. We got to get back to focusing on arresting, on prosecuting, and sentencing. And until we get back to that, it's just going to keep spiraling out of control.
All right, Ted Dabrowski, we're going to have to leave it there, but we will talk to you next Tuesday, Election Day.
Thank you, guys.
Ted Dabrowski, president at Wire Points, Inc., and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
You're not going to want to miss the dramatic reading by Amy and Ray.
I hope it's
coming up later.
I hope I can live up to the billing.
I don't know if we should practice again. We might have to.
Yeah, because you gave me a piece of paper with a lot of scribbling on it, so I'll just make crap up.
Well, that Ray Stevens here for Dan Proft today. Thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
On the, you know, 1 week countdown to the mayoral election.
So excited.
I know. Oh, that's right, but you can't vote. See, all these, and it's so weird, too, because all these reporters that are asking questions, only a fourth of them actually live in the city.
Yeah,
everybody else, when they're done with their jobs and they're covering the crime, they go back to the suburbs. Not saying that crime has not hit the suburbs, but it's different when you're embedded.
Yeah, I was only a resident of Chicago for 2 years. And, man, if I could pull off one of these work-from-home deals, I would be so out of here. I'd be either up in my place in Wisconsin, where the men are men and the deer are scared. Or I'd be out in Colorado or Arizona, somewhere in the mountains, because you can't find me. Broadcasting from a bunker.
Oh, well, some people do that.
I know. Some of them that
from
work
free
here.
Free states, yeah. Exactly. but we're going to get to Willie Wilson 1 second. But we have some news about Don Lemon, because he's not on the air again today.
Yes.
What's inquiring minds want to know?
The CNN CEO, I guess his name is Chris Licht, said that he sat down with Don, and they had a frank and a very meaningful conversation. Which is good, because they're, you know, executives in a big broadcasting world.
Any more information than that?
It's important to CNN that they balance accountability with fostering a culture in which people can own, learn, and grow from their mistakes. And with that said, he said that tomorrow joining Don Lemon on the air will be Chris Cuomo.
Hey, didn't say that.
Hey, look at me in the gym. Hey.
He's taking time off for training, right?
Yeah.
Sensitivity training.
You know what it is? It's time.
It's sensitivity training.
It's personal time to reflect. And you know, it's what when we get in trouble, what do? We stop, we reflect, and we talk to the Jesus. Dear help me, Jesus. I made a mistake. I want to keep my warm, swanky gig and my $1 million a year. Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's go back to our guest now.
All right.
Dr. Willie Wilson, he wants to be your next mayor of the city of Chicago. And the first step in that is to win the runoff. The top two spots, the top two people. Then we'll have a runoff election on April 4th. But election day, 1 week from today. Good morning, Dr. Wilson. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing? And also, Ray, how are both of you guys doing?
I'm doing well, Doctor. Good to talk to you again. I'm a huge fan of you. You're a good man. You do so many good things for this city. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
So, what was you are urging Paul Vallis to reject the endorsement from the FOP? Just tell us why. Start there.
Well, I think it's the wrong thing to do in terms of, DeSantis coming into town as governor from Florida. I work hard all my life in trying to make sure we bring us two together. You know, the problem today exists between the police officers and the community is not at its best. And look, we just don't need that. I'm from the South Jim Crow area, and I was able to put everything behind me, and let's try to straighten this out together. I support our police officers, whether you African American, Latina, white, Asian, or American, and I will always support them 100%. But when it comes down to the situation of a tone, for example, like in down in Florida, they had a situation where it's that African American history, I think, is out of schools and things of that nature. We should be trying to bring people together and not divide us, and that's kind of the way I felt it. And I supported white police officer.
Right, but if you got the FOP endorsement, would you have rejected it because DeSantis spoke at a rally? I mean, he has a right. There's freedom of travel, freedom of speech we have here in this country.
No, I agree with that. If anybody know about that, it would be me. I reject anything that I feel that is wrong. You know?
You would reject the FOP's endorsement if you had it?
If they had endorsed me and then this would have came out, I'd have been the same way I am right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm not even running for the mayor for a paycheck. Or nothing. I'm not running to help people.
Your success stands on its own. Willie, I want to ask you this, and I hope I'm okay in doing so.
Go ahead.
Because you and I, we've talked before, we've known each other, but I've never had a chance to ask you, in a city riddled with crime that we need to fix and clean up, what happened to your son?
Well, he was murdered. They came into the house and with my other three kids. And it was a drug kind of a thing, and they shot him right behind the ear and killed him and ran upstairs to try to kill my other three kids as well.
Oh.
And one of them thought that my other son had a gun and did not have it, and they came out until he ran. And that's the way it happened that way. And nobody should have to even live and go through such things as crime, especially losing a daughter or a son. So all four of my kids almost got killed.
Oh, my God. Were you home at the time?
No. I was not home. I got a call because, we had a call, and I knew the phone was ringing off of different than everything else, so we was able to get over there. And, police was there, and they couldn't move the body. And it was on the floor. It must have stayed there for about 5 or 6 hours. And so it's something that nobody ever want to go through.
Mm-mm. How do you turn, and by the way, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it a million times, and I know it doesn't help and it's shallow, but condolences, my goodness, nobody should have to go through that. Yet people go through it every single day. Today,
every second of every day. We've had 42 homicides so far this year.
How do we keep doing the same thing, electing the same people, getting the same results? And here you are, you're a businessman, you give back to the community, you're a role model for success in the African-American community. How do we change the culture outside of an election? How do we change the culture of Chicago just the way it's gotten the last 4 years? I mean, I work with a pastor named Pastor Donovan Price. This guy goes from shootings to grave sites to funerals. It's a never-ending battle. How do we change it?
Well, you have to start changing one by one. First, you have to start with yourself, which was I did. I started with myself. I reached out and came to all different part of the community, 77 community in Chicago, three or four times. What are you, a white, black, Latina, rich or poor? I supported the food, the gasoline. I also supported the different things around the homeless and things of that nature as well, and show myself kindness. And look, we're all together. I started with myself. And I think everybody has to start with themselves, and you got to talk out against racism and things of that nature as well. And then you have to embrace the thing that is right and then not embrace the thing that is wrong. And we have to get and sit down and talk to one another regardless of what our feeling may be. We must still talk and whether one is right and one is wrong, but we got to sit and talk and work those things out together. And so I've took a lot of comments, a lot of heat, you may say, from being with talking to the FOP. But look, you got guys and ladies in FOP just like in the black community. You got white and black and Latina. I mean, I don't care. I've been labeled as a Republican, Democratic. I'm for the people. But one thing you never will get me to say, and that is this here, you'll never get me to talk against a police officer. You'll never, yep, ever do that.
Well, Mayor Lightfoot took issue with you saying you're going to hunt them down like rabbits, or you're going to hope the police hunt down the bad guys like rabbits. And she was asked that at this press conference.
Well, I am the only candidate that can win. That's a fact. So the fact that a media outlet has recognized that and put it in writing is something, frankly, that people are saying all over the city, not surprisingly, in majority black neighborhoods across the city. It happens to be a fact. And look, here's the thing. Willie Wilson is all excited about this, and he's calling upon all of us to condemn someone who's exercised their First Amendment rights. What all of us should be doing is condemning Willie Wilson, who has doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on this notion that what we need to be doing in the city is taking the handcuffs off of our police and urging them to act like vigilantes, a mob, and go hunt down what will always be black and brown boys and hunt them down like rabbits. As far as I'm aware, I'm the only candidate, aside from Jamal Green, that has condemned that horrific language.
What is your response to that?
Well, here's my response to that. First off, she's didn't put the whole thing in. I said as well. So here's what I said. Is there anybody who, first of all, I said I've lost a 20-year-old son as well, killed to gun violence. And that next is that anybody who kills a person, who going to not get caught, go down the street and kill someone else, the next month, the 6 months, or a year later, all right, and never, ever get caught should be hunted down like a rabbit. I said that, and I meant that. They should be hunted down like a rabbit and caught and prosecuted. You know, because the fact of it is that nobody catching us. All this mayor is doing is complaining about, look like she's trying to protect the people who taking these crimes and killing people versus the innocent people out here. This mayor is in a, I used to watch a movie called A Twilight Zone. Hmm. You know, I don't know if she passed Twilight Zone or something, you know, delusion, you know. So anybody who, all these young men and young ladies and loved ones who get killed and have to put their kid down into the grave, what about those people there? You know, so that's what I said. I think this mayor is pulling her last straws, and I think, to be honest with you, and I always have spoken frankly to you guys and always will, she's not Chicago. We need to take her back and let her go back to Ohio, cross that Ohio line.
Yeah, did they ever find the person who killed your son?
They did find him and caught him. They caught him. My daughter identified him, and they locked him up. They asked me, did I want to come to the, you know, the court, the Senate and everything. I said, no, I don't want to. I couldn't bring my son back, you know. So what was no use doing that? And so I let it alone. I don't even try to think about it no more.
You know, what year did that happen?
You know what? I try to take it out of my mind. I don't even want to remember it.
You bring up a good point, though. You bring up a good point, and you're talking to this from the viewpoint of somebody that's lived this horrific tragedy is that, you know, we spend more time worrying about how we need to be woke and redo our justice system and how we need accountability for these poor criminals, yet nobody ever thinks about the victims of crime.
And their family members.
And all the people that it devastates, not only to the people that it affects, but to the first responders that have to go to this over and over and over again. Yet that's not what we focus on. We focus on what we can do to make it better for these poor kids that have been disadvantaged.
Well, you know, you're like this here. If that people talk about, hey, look, the police do this, the police do that. Look, everybody must be held accountable, whether you're a police officer or non-police officer. Everybody, all right? But the same token is that those police officers are people from our community. They are our spouses and they are our kids and things like that. And for them to down the police officer is just plain known wrong. They're the first responder there. If somebody right now today takes and shoots somebody or hurts somebody, the first thing you're going to call is 911, right? And that's what you're going to be calling. But this particular mayor here have drove crime so high. Reason I say she's delusional is that she don't even know she got a problem. Yeah. How can you fix a problem and don't know you got a problem? Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm. And well, how can you run a city of Chicago when the police officer got all these strict rules and regulation on them, can't chase a person, you know, how you know, by foot or car. I said chase them down and get them and track them down, like I said before, like a rabbit. If they kill somebody or hurt somebody, it is plain no wrong. And I look, I'm not coming off that. I made my stand on that because you don't know how it feels to lose a loved one.
Yep. Willie Wilson, where can people get more information about your campaign?
Well, electwilliewilson.com. People, they do that and tell your friends to vote for us and tell your friends that I'm not looking to get a paycheck. I'm not looking to show favoritism to anybody. I want to run this city. I want to bring this city together with everybody. Doesn't matter what color you are. Keep racist remark out of this race. It's already tough enough. Let's all bring people together and work together and fix this thing together.
All right. Thank you so much, Doctor, and thank you for sharing your story with us. We appreciate your time, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Dr. Willie Wilson, and electwilliewilson.com is the website, and he joined us on our turnkey.proanswer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one, Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we have some text messages pouring in on our turnkey.pro text line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
My favorite text of the morning, that jerk with Amy is too annoying. Now, I don't know who sent that in, but...
but I like the way you're delivering the text message.
Do we... is it Jaros Bakery? Is that how you say it?
I'm the name assassinator. And Justin, how do you pronounce it? Justin might not... oh, see, now he's looking to Quinn, who's then going to look to Mike Scott.
Either way,
we're going to go in this circle.
Either way, it's a bakery in Elk Grove Village. I'm going to be there getting some punchkis in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes. If you don't like me, show up. We'll figure it out.
It's Jaros. We think it's Jaros, and that is at the corner of Arlington Heights and Beesterfield? No, Higgins.
Here's another one I like.
Yes, yes, please.
You guys are nuts. If DeSantis runs against Trump, we will lose. The vote will split, and the Dems will win. All right, now here's the thing. If both of these guys run as Republicans, the primary will weed the other guy out. But here's what's going to happen, right? Somebody's going to say, oh, wait, no, I'm going to run as an independent.
And that's going to be President Trump.
Yeah, well... well, then that's a problem. That's a problem. So, but I
well, that's
I think,
a, it's a guaranteed Democratic win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want four more years of Biden? Yeah. You want four more years of Kamala Harris?
I like President Trump doing what he's doing. I mean, this guy can affect change being a, you know, former president. Look what he did for that town in Ohio. He opened his mouth. Boom. Federal assistance is there.
Boom. Healthcare clinic.
Yeah.
Leveled up. And Trump acknowledged that yesterday.
2 years, the destruction that they should Well, over the last 2 years, the destruction that they've done in 2 years, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And even now you have a president going to Ukraine and you have people in Ohio that are in desperate need of help. And I was very proud to say that I announced I was going to Ohio. You know, FEMA said we're not going to give them anything. The Biden administration said we're not going to give them anything. And then I announced I'm going. Please sit down.
And he announced that he's going. And then, boom, all this federal funding starts coming in. But still, the mayor of that town, who is still dealing with toxic fumes that are spewing, was upset and took Biden to task for going to Ukraine yesterday with a $500 million check to help pay citizens' pensions. So we've given them $100 billion, and then yesterday on President's Day, he goes and helps foreigners instead of being on the homeland and helping us. And here's the mayor of East Palestine.
He was in the Ukraine giving millions of dollars away to people over there, not to us, and I'm furious.
All right. Well, shifting gears, though.
Now we go to the happy talk.
Well, maybe, we're welcoming back. And we'll get a reaction from David Hochberg. He's vice president of lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Wanted to check in with him. If he's bored at work with these high interest rates. But, Mr. Hochberg, would you like to comment on Biden's trip to Ukraine?
Not really. I'd rather talk about mortgages and stay in my lane because if I comment on one thing, I'm going to piss 50% of the people off. So
hey,
not good for my business.
I just realized that that text that I read earlier wasn't from me. The one that
it's from
that,
me.
That jerk with Amy is annoying. They were getting ready for Hochberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, David, how did your breakfast go this weekend? I know it was one of your big fundraisers. You're always doing good in the hood, as I like to say. Did you raise money? I know last year it was huge.
Yeah, last year we had two huge corporate sponsors that we didn't have, unfortunately, this year. But we raised over $100,000 for the Vestathon that I run. We had a pancake breakfast. Well, Matt O'Shea runs a pancake breakfast down the 19th Ward. I went down there and poured some syrup. I was a syrup, official syrup filler and pour for a couple hours on Sunday. And I know they raised a couple of grand there. So waiting for a final total. Also, the Barstool Sports guys volunteered. Offered their services of their restaurant. They donated 50% of the take on Saturday. So I'm still waiting for the final total of that. So that's huge as well.
And
so,
the money goes to raise. People didn't understand what does the money go to raise? Bulletproof vests?
Yeah, it goes to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to purchase replacement bulletproof vests. So the men and women of the Chicago Police Department who can't afford bulletproof vest could get a bulletproof vest. It needs to be replaced every 5 years because for some reason the 12,000 members of the Chicago Police Department have to pay for their replacement vest and all the surrounding suburban police forces do the right thing and pay for the replacement vests for their police officers.
This has been a big thing for a long time, man. And
how much does a vest cost?
$500 by $550 the tactical unit can go up to over 2,000 if you're on the SWAT force for the high ballistic bullets. So, I mean, it's expensive, and there's no reason why we shouldn't do it. And Paul Vallis actually called in the show that I was doing and donated $1,000. He was the only mayoral candidate to do that, and he mentioned on air during the show. I pressed him. He's like, if I'm mayor, I'm going to change that. I'm going to get these men and women replacement vests. So if you haven't voted for mayor, candidate Vallis is the only mayoral candidate that stepped up to support the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
Well, you do good, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks. It frosts me. I don't understand it.
Go to a pancake breakfast, do you drink the syrup right from the thing, right from the container?
Well, actually, I do it from the gigantic coffee maker that's plugged in to keep the syrup hot.
And he gargles with it. What kind of question is that?
Me and this knucklehead have a great relationship.
I can
love
tell. You ladies go out to lunch later. All right, so where can people donate to this fund and people missed it? How can we help?
Sure. It's real simple. CPD Vest, Chicago Police Department, cpdvest.com. If our listeners want to continue listening, you want to donate $5, great. We get 100 people donating $5, we get a vest. It doesn't matter how much you can afford. We had a bunch of people you know, ironically from the suburbs, donating $500. A couple donated $1,000, but it's not like, I know I'm not that naive to realize that everybody's got $500 laying around. You got $5, $10, $15, whatever, a couple of bucks, whatever you can afford. Go to cpdvest.com, cpdvest.com. That website will stay open, and hopefully Vallis gets in and gets funding for the replacement vest. So then we could have these fundraisers to help fund programs to help families of the fallen Chicago police officers who get killed and injured on the job. That's what the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation is set up for. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep. Besides your philanthropic work, you are the vice president of lending of Team Hochberg. Homeside Financial, mortgage rates are, I mean, the highest I've seen in my lifetime. How's the business going? Are you twiddling your thumbs or what's happening?
Well, we've got a lot of time on our hands, so we're doing, you know, we're not at breakneck volume like we were in 2020 and 21 during the pandemic when rates were at record lows in the threes. So, you know, the rates are solidly in the sixes and the sevens right now. The Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the first-time home buyers, percentage of first-time home buyers, according to the National Association of Realtors last year, they've been keeping track of this stuff, guys, for 41 years, dropped to its lowest level in 41 years. So FHFA, Federal Housing Finance Authority, and Fannie Freddie, the alphabet soup of government financing, decided to do something about it. And they said at the end of last year, and we don't know how long it's going to continue, so get into it if you're a first-time home buyer, which is the government classifies as somebody who has not owned a home in the past 3 years. You could buy a home without any loan level price adjusters, which are loan level rate adjusters based upon how much money you put down, the type of property, and the credit score. All that's been waived up to 100% of the average median income of the area, which in Cook County and the surrounding Collier County is $105,700. So those individuals are getting into homes in the sixes. Others are getting into high sixes, you know, low sevens. If you're buying an investment property or a second home, you're going to start with a seven if you want a 30-year fixed loan. It's just, yeah. So what we're concentrating on is financial literacy. I just want to get this out real quick because I know we're up against time. We're doing a lot of financial literacy. We're turning our spare time into valuable time. We're giving back. We'd like to come into your organization, church, religious organization, philanthropic organization, college, high school, and do financial literacy training. Tell everybody what credit's all about. If your if your group wants to get into a home and goes through our training, we'll give them a $500 closing cost credit for quote unquote graduating. So we're not just sitting around playing Pong, right? You know, because I bought one of those because I thought it was cool. I found one online and put in the office. But
I love that game. That was my first video game, Pong.
Right. And black and white. It was such a simpler time back in the day. And you got so excited when you beat somebody. So here, you know, the bottom line is we've got a lot of time on our hands because rates are high. And we're using that energy and that time to invest it back into our listeners' financial well-being. There's a lot of areas out there that have got zero financial literacy. And I was just at the King County Chiefs of Police luncheon last Wednesday, and I threw that out there to the chiefs, and I sat with the guys from Carpentersville, and they're like, we're going to call you because we want to bring you into our community and do literacy education, financial literacy. So if you've got a need out there, any type of group, any type of religious organization, any type of I've reached out to a bunch of black pastors on the south side. Love to break into the Latino community as well. I have a couple of Spanish-speaking loan officers. Love to offer that to your listening audience as a give back to, while rates are high, get everybody in the best possible position to succeed when they buy a home.
And I just want to say I do appreciate you coming out to the ward cleanup we're doing in the 15th Ward with Alderman Ray Lopez again this year.
Amy's
going to be there. It's coming up in late March, and this is the year I get you down there, brother.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you give me more than 2 days' notice, yeah.
I just gave you a month's notice.
You just
I'll give you the
random day in the.
Yeah.
Well,
it's okay. I don't run the 15th.
March 20th through the end of the month is like a lot of March.
Right.
Like,
a lot
day.
Of March.
I don't run the ward, so I will talk to Ray Lopez, and I'll have you both a date in the next 5 minutes. Okay. Does that work?
If I'm in town,
where are you going to be?
With my daughter.
He might be.
I'm planning a daddy-daughter trip. My daughter wants to go on a trip with me. So guess what? I'm taking advantage of it. God knows how long that's going to last.
You go. Amen, brother. Real quick, yeah. one last question for you. Are home values increasing, decreasing, or staying level?
Well, right now, due to the lack of inventory, if you put your house on the market, and it, again, location, location, location. I know a buddy of mine put his house on the market in Glenview for $940. He got $980.
Wow.
Because the people that bought his home lost 7-8 other homes. He lives close to Glenbrook South High School. Needs updating. The house down the street, the guy's been trying to sell it for the past 4 years, just went for 1.4. So in good areas, like anything else, location, 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 values are still there. We still have an inventory shortage. So if you're thinking about you're going to wait till the spring, get off your rear end. Now's a great time to call a realtor to get out there and list that house. If you need help with a realtor, I've got connections with a bunch of realtors who are great, who will help you sell your home. And, I'd love to help everybody out there. If you need to sell a home, I'd love to connect you with the realtor to do that to max out your value.
And how can people get a hold of you?
855-56-DAVID is our 800 number. You go to 56david.com, or you can call Ray. He's got me at speed dial.
No, I'm going to put your cell number out on my social media.
Oh, yeah, right. And if you want to help buy a Chicago police officer a new bulletproof vest, go to cpdvest.com. David Hochberg,
yeah,
always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Bye.
See you, bud.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.